always great to be here. It is always a privilege, as somebody has already said, to meet together and to share with one another. So it's really grand to be here. We're considering, continuing our series on making disciples and how we do that along the way, if you like. And the Bible has one, well, a main consistent concern, if you like. How can people know God and have a right relationship with Him? How can we experience the abundant life that He has promised to each one of us? How can we share that with those around us? And central to that idea in the Bible is the idea of covenant. The Old and New Testament both have the idea of covenant. A covenant is an agreement between two people, usually matched along the way. Biblical covenants are initiated by God and agreed to by His people, who couldn't alter or amend the terms along the way. God doesn't give us various options. And I think sometimes we live like He does, but God doesn't do that. There are three major covenants in the Bible. The first is the covenant with Abraham. God promised that He would make a great nation from Abraham's descendants, and through them, all the whole world would be blessed, and that He would give the land of Canaan as a place for that to be their home. And Abraham had to leave his family and move to a land he didn't know, and fulfill what God wanted of him. He didn't know where he was actually going. The second covenant was the covenant with Israel. The terms and conditions were laid out in the Ten Commandments and in other laws which Moses read out to the people. And in Exodus 19, it says this: "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.' These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. This covenant built on the one that was made with Abraham, and it looked forward also to the one that was made through Christ. These covenants were ratified by a ceremony that included animal sacrifice and the shedding of blood, and that indicated the seriousness of the agreement, and it was a sign also of God's loving forgiveness. The covenant with Abraham was an unconditional covenant, God explaining what he was going to do. And there wasn't a condition on that. He was going to do that anyway. But the covenant with Israel was conditional. It wasn't just what God would do for them, but what they had to do for him. "If you will, I will." And it was related to what they would do for him. You know, the third covenant, the new covenant in Christ, this too is a conditional covenant. The terms and conditions of this covenant are that we accept by faith what Jesus did for us on the cross through his shed blood. We accept the forgiveness that comes from him. We recognize that we can't make ourselves right with God, and it's only through Jesus that we can ever come to him. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when we come to him, then we need to live wholeheartedly for him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 6:22 says, "But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do these things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life." He has set us free. He's loved us beyond measure. He's forgiven us. He's promised abundant life now and eternal life right into past death and into being with him. This is what he has done. And we must live a holy life. We must come to him, accept what he's done for us, and live a holy life. What does that mean? 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God's ways. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives you his Holy Spirit." And Ephesians 5 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there mustn't even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And so these things, God was laying out what were the terms of the covenant. And for us, also in the New Testament, in this, God lays out what we must do for him. 1 Peter 2 says, "But you are not like that, the way the world lives. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You can show the goodness of God to others as a result of the way you live. What God said to the Israelites in the Old Testament, he says to us today, there is a distinction. There is a distinction between God's people and the people of the world and the way they think and act. God told the people of Israel in Leviticus 19, "Give the following instructions to the entire community of Israel. You must be holy as I am holy." And in also in 1 Peter, Peter echoes that and says, "For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy." And you know, we've sang quite a bit about the holiness of God today. But do we often consider that we too must be holy as he is holy? How can the nations and those around us be blessed if they don't see something different in the way we live. You know, it's interesting, and if you've been a mum or a dad, you will know that children often copy what they see in the home. I was watching Stacey Solomon last night. I don't know if you've ever watched her program, Sort Your Life Out. And it's basically, you know, getting rid of the clutter in your home. You know, the way some people live with lots of clutter. And she was trying to get this family to part with some of the stuff. There was 2,000 toys in the house, would you believe? And she had two children. And the dad didn't want to part with all his treasures, all these things he'd amassed over the years. And neither did the kids. Oh, no, I don't want to part with that. And she said, isn't it funny the way the kids see the way the mums and dads live, and they copy that. And it's so often true that, you know, you can look at the children and say, I know whose kids they are, just by the way they are. Is the example that's in your home showing something of God's character? Are they copying something of the character of God that they see in you? You know, Matthew 6, which was the verse that was added into this series, says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If I can't forgive those who've hurt me, how am I different from the world? And you know, we can sometimes... I have forgiven that person. You know, Harvey and Isla, when I look after them, my grandchildren, they sometimes have a scrap. And it's usually Isla. She is just a mischief maker. And Harvey is happy to play on his own and sit, and he'll have things all arranged out on the floor, and she'll just come and go like that and kick it, you know. Just because she just wants to wind him up. And then I'll say, Isla, that was awful. You say sorry to Harvey. Sorry. And she certainly doesn't mean it. And so, yeah, you have to talk to her about, you know, what she's done. And Harvey's at that point, you know, raging. And you have to explain to him, you know, about how well, you know, you can let it. She did it on purpose. Well, yes, probably she did. But, you know, try to explain to them. Because we have shades of what we call forgiveness, don't we? If you're in any way in doubt about whether you've forgiven somebody, I suggest you read R.T. Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness, and it sure shows you the depth of the way we need to be with one another to understand what it means to forgive somebody totally. Do you need to make adjustments in your life? Do I need to make adjustments in mine? In our attitudes, be holy. It means separate and distinct. Your love for God and for others should be total. If we love the Lord our God with everything that we are, it should be total. And love your neighbour as you love yourself. Do we love like that? Do we love those around us like that? Do we need to make adjustments? Your patience with others, is it separate and distinct from the way the world shows patience? Do you react in situations, or do you stop and think first? Do you hold out before acting? Do you need to make adjustments? Your kindness and humility, are they evident to those around? When was the last time you showed kindness to somebody outside of your friendship group? Do you need to make adjustments? In your attitudes, be holy, and in your actions, be holy too. Be careful what you say. With our words, we build up or we tear down. A thoughtless word spoken out of turn can devastate someone for years. I remember when I was in secondary school, And my dad, you hear me talk about my dad a lot because I loved him to bits, but he was so clever. He could do just most anything. And he was very arty. He was so good at paintings. He's won prizes for all that kind of stuff. But he was very good at that. And our Sam kind of followed in his footsteps to some degree anyway. She is very arty. And I wasn't really, but this one year, and I was in Bootle Grammar School for girls, and if you got over 75% in your end of term exams, then you got an honour, and we happened to have the art project that year was this abstract painting, and I must have just put all the colours together. You know, it happened to be like a portrait, which is well art, but abstract. Anyway, I come top in the class. I got 76%, so I got an honour, and on my report is a little H next to my score, and I was so thrilled with myself, I couldn't to get home and tell me dad. I thought he's going to be made up. And I said, Dad, I've come top in art and I got an honour. He said, there must be some right duck eggs in your class if you came top. Do you know, he didn't mean anything by it. But 60 years later, I've remembered that. You know, sometimes words, it didn't devastate me, if I'm honest, but I guess I wanted him to be pleased, you know. And I think, I can't think of loads of great things he said, and he did all the time, but I remember that. And so we've got to be careful, you know, with our words. Be careful what you say to others, because you have no idea the effect it has in somebody's life. Do you need to make adjustments? Be careful what you do. Is what you do holy? Your work life. Do you give 100% at work? Do you do your job real well? Are you known in your workspace for your diligence and your integrity? Do you need to make adjustments? In your finances, do you pay the right tax? You'll be surprised how many Christians cut corners, do jobs for cash so they don't have to pay tax, don't fill in tax assessments accurately. Do you hold out on God? It says in Malachi 3, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. In your finances, Christian bosses, are you fair in your dealings with your workers? My husband suffered at the hands of Christian bosses. Do you need to make adjustments where your finances are concerned? In your leisure time, is what you watch on TV or computer honouring to God? Or how much you drink? I've seen too many Christians drunk, and they think it's okay. Are you holy? Are you separate and distinct in your leisure time? Do you need to make adjustments? We are called to be holy in our personal lives. And we're called to be holy when we're together. We're called to stand out from the world in a way which blesses them and doesn't condemn them. Chris said last week, we need to be a changed people if we want to see change in the lives of others. We make disciples by the way we live. You know, it isn't always just what we say. If our life doesn't measure up to what we say, then it won't be taken on board. I'm going to read you a poem. And it says, sermons we see. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I'm eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a strong man stays behind just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to become as big and thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all travellers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way. One good man teaches many. Men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noticed is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honour learns to hold his honour dear, for right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. People are looking at us and looking at our lives and they want to see something different. We can talk to people and tell them the way, but if our life doesn't measure up behind it, it's going to be pretty hollow words. We had two people who've been in our Hope Tots group now for a while, in fact 7 years, and they left on Tuesday because their children are at that age now where they move on to the next thing. And they came to us, and one of them, she said to me, she was in tears, and she said she was so sad to be leaving. She came 7 years ago. After trying, she actually lives in West Derby, and she was trying the groups in her area. Her sister comes to our group because she lives local, and she tried the groups in her area, and she said, you know, she said they were cliquish, they didn't speak to me, I felt totally out of place. And she said, I tried more than one group. So she said, my sister said, come to ours. And she said, I have found here something totally different. She said, I feel like family. She said, you all speak to me, and I've so enjoyed. And she's in tears by this time. And she said, I've been so blessed to come. And, you know, we were talking about her still keeping contact with us and all that kind of thing. But I'm not bigging up the Tots group in one sense, but I'm saying if people don't see something different, how can they believe what you're saying? Living the way God wants us to speaks volumes to those around. When we live according to the covenant relationship, you know, we signed up for this covenant relationship, and we need to fulfill our part for him. Jesus did all that he needed to do, and we need to fulfill our part. And if we live according to that covenant relationship we have through Jesus, then the world will be blessed. The world will be blessed. But you know, more than that, so will we. Isn't that incredible? Remember, this is a covenant. If you will, I will. We'll experience more of the abundant life that God promises. More peace, more joy in our lives, more of all that he has for us. When we live a holy life, we release the blessing of God to us, and we touch the lives of those around us. I pray that we will make the adjustments. I've kept asking the question, do you need to make adjustments? But the actual truth of that is every one of us needs to make adjustments all the time, to move from one degree of glory till another, till we actually see him face to face. We never stop needing to make adjustments in our lives. Where is God asking you to make adjustments today? What is the things he's talking to you about and to me about in our lives that we will live and be holy like he is holy? Amen.